Let's do it. It's my birthday and I'm here. If you want to know, somebody had the nerve to ask me, are you still going to do your stream even on your birthday? Have you not learned that I am the leader of the try-hard community? There's nobody. I'm going to Vegas this weekend, and I've bought a fucking laptop just to go there and record Showdown Hoedown for you sweaty tryhards. So, yes, I'm going to do the show on my birthday. Oh, fuck. I thought I was supposed to go, woo, this is why you don't buy the cheap ones. Here you go, guy in the back. Get the hell off. Get off of me. Quit covering up my awesome master's hat. You like that? That's fresh, ain't it? Real fresh. Okay, here we go. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I am a PGA DFS content creator who is here to help you quit stepping on your own dick and remind you that PGA DFS be hard and it should be fun and sustainable. What a concept. Let's see. If you find that you like the cut of my jib, I encourage you to come check out the schedule right here, where every Monday I do my revolutionary course preview show along with pricing thoughts and contest selection. Of course, you're watching the emergency stream right now, which I do every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Lord's time zone, where we go over week-long, and then where the biggest edge exists is Showdown, because that's where all the donkey dicks have no idea what they're doing. They're just, I want to play this guy. So just go in there and play that. Come check that out Friday and Saturday night. Showdown Hoedown, the flagship of my station, okay? Encourage you to do it. If you're here because I give away a lot of shit, well, it's true. I'm not a fucking poor. And by the way, I've got to tell you, some people don't understand. Being a poor has nothing to do with how much money you have. Being a poor is a state of mind. I know rich people that are fucking poors, okay? Being a poor is a state of mind. It is not a status of financial stability, okay? So if you were here for the drawing, don't you worry. I'll be doing them throughout the stream because you know what? We're not poors around here. I think you already dropped a couple F-bombs. Speaking of F-bombs, you see that little thing above my head? That's called the fuck counter because I have a problem saying the F-bomb, and I'm told my mom I'd try to get better at it. And so every week, I put money in that till, and at the end, I will draw one of your names. And if you can beat me heads up, you get all the money in the till. I'll just straight PayPal your ass so we can build a ticket together, whatever you want to do. Last week, Golden Taint tried to break my 9-week winning streak. Some have said I'm never going to lose. What do you think, Teddy?
Pay that man his money.
I don't think so, Teddy, because once again, 10 weeks in a row, I have won, and he put up quite the fight. 6-12 was no bitch score last week, right? But as the last 9 guys learned, if you mess with the bull, you get the horns. I'll never stop learning. Fuck it. I'll say it forever. You're going to have to deal with it. Good match, Golden Taint. And great name. Great name. You got to give him that. That's a great name. All right. Let's get to the first question. And then after that, we'll do our first drawing. Okay. My first question is, hey, new guy. New guy. Look here. Hey. Have you made your lineup yet? You have, haven't you, you donkey dick? That's why you're losing so much money, because you've already started making your lineups and you don't have all the relevant information that we're going to cover tonight. Be better. Don't worry. You'll have a chance for redemption in a little bit. Hold on. Editor, over here in the chat, go ahead and do our first drawing to make a lineup with me. This is simply on me. We'll split it 50-50. Yes, I am the guy that PayPal the guy $10,000 about a month ago because we hit a lineup. Which, by the way, me and my winner from last week, teaser, we actually finished 69th in the big $20. I did one lineup in the whole big $20 pitch and putt last week because I thought the contest sucked, but did it with the winner. We finished 69th. Nice. Okay. Let's see here. The winner is Christopher Donaldson. Christopher, me and you, we're making a lineup tonight. Reach out to me on Twitter, on Discord, get a hold of the editor, whatever. We'll make a lineup if you want to save it for a better week. I get it, bro. Let's talk contest selection. The first place, you're burning money. And I got to tell you, DraftKings was really nice to the big guy today on my birthday. Hey, it kind of made it that time. It kind of made the noise that time. And so I'm going to try not to shit on him. But before I don't shit on them, let me shit on them, okay? Because this big pitch and putt, DraftKings, look at me, okay? We're connected, okay? You complete me, all right? I need you to be better, okay? Last week, people were uninterested because it was a weird format and people are fucking plebs and they're like, I don't get it, so I'm just not going to play. This week, we're back to normal. Yes, I get it's a weaker field, DK, but that is not what makes people play or not play. Everybody's going to play scrub events and good events so long as it is a normal format. The match play, Ryder Cup, the team event, exerts, that's what scares people away, right? I get it. You got to slow it down on those weeks. But we're back to normal format this week, and you put out this donkey dick contest? Come on, DraftKings. This thing is going to fill in the next, hour? And, you know, then there'll be 12 hours left and they'll be putting a secondary out there. This should have been at least an $800,000 contest, which is so much better because then first is only 25%. And now, instead of it being 25%, it's the disgusting 33%. And then that just has a ripple effect on all the other top 10s, right? Like, look at second place. Only one quarter of first. Polly, tell them.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. And then, I mean, look at that. And then you get 10th place, right? You just hit the nuts. I mean, you hit the nuts. No, you get 9th place. Incredible. How did you get 9th place, bro? In that big of a tournament with 35,000 people, you're an all-star. Enjoy your 1/100th of first place. My God. $2,000 for getting 9th in that monster? Polly, tell him once again.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. Thank you, Polly. Other contest, the 555 is okay, but most of you aren't playing in that. You know, I wish the $200 single entries were a little bit bigger, but they're not too disgusting, and they're only doing 20% up top, which I always appreciate. Out of 150,000, only 30,000 going to first. Just a much better prize structure. Not perfect, but, you know, also not disgusting, so those are very acceptable. This is quickly becoming everybody's favorite, the big $5. You know, for 750 bucks, you can max enter it. It has a really nice flat payout structure up top, only 10% going to first. I mean, this one always fills because it's just the nuts. This is the format that 90% of people want. It is more sustainable to play in this than it is to play in the big old lottery, the $20 lottery. And you say, well, this one has 60,000 people. That's a lottery too. Yes, it is a lottery in the sense that there's a ton of people in it, but it is not a lottery in that there's a nice solid payout structure throughout it. That's why I don't classify it as a true lottery. Always, if you just want to do good contests, always look at single entry and three maxes. And if you ever want to blow money, just go play in satellites, okay? Am I playing in way too many satellites? Yeah. Yeah, I am, Bob. All right, that's it. That's contest selection. I keep saying the same shit over and over, so I'm not going to spend that long on it. You know what contest you need to play in is mine right here. It's in the link of this video. No strings attached. You literally just go take your favorite lineup and toss it in there. No strings attached. Literally nothing. If you win, you get a free ticket with me and a free week on my Discord. And if you get second, you get a free week on my Discord. Rob right there won. I'm pretty sure Eli got he definitely got second, but I'm pretty sure both those guys are already on my Discord, so I'm just going to make a ticket with both of them. That's what I'm going to do. So Eli, I'm 100% sure you're on the Discord. So just reach out to me because you got second. You don't get a free week because you're already on there. So we'll just do a ticket together, brother. By the way, I got fourth. I got fourth with a 5 out of 6. I almost got you, motherfathers. All right, new guy. Time for redemption. What is the first thing we always check at PGA DFS on a Wednesday night as we're prepping before we make our lineups? Yeah, that's right. There you go, new guy. First guy to get it right all year. I'm proud of you, brother. Oh, no, my screen went crazy. Did Mexico just get nuked or something? What's going on here? Okay. Apparently I just got downgraded on Windy, okay? I'm not sure what's happening here. I'm scared to even hit refresh. Maybe I'm out in the... Oh, there we go. It's back. I brought it back from annihilation. You're welcome, Mexico. Let's see here. Let's keep them. First of all, they're down on the west coast of Mexico, okay? And where are they... What's the name of the place again? I'd be lying if I Puerto Vallarta. Okay, trying to the double L always meant double L makes a Y in Spanish. I always have to remind myself of that. Okay, so this course right here, it's right over here on the west coast. It is a coastal course, okay? It's kind of a resort course. It's not particularly tough. It's actually a par 73 for members, but they'll be playing it as a par 71, turning a couple of the par 5s into just really long par 4s, okay? And it is incredible. I watched this interview of one of the groundskeepers there talking about how the weather impacts this course. And he said, every morning it's beautiful and perfect, and then the afternoon breezes pick up. And I shit you not, it literally does that every single day. Perfect in the morning, light afternoon gusts. Perfect in the morning, light afternoon gust. Perfect in the morning, light afternoon gust. I mean, it's insane. It's like this place just must be like perfect weather every day. Okay, just perfect. Probably why it's a vacation. Probably why there's a resort there. If I were to pontificate. Okay, so with that, you got to ask yourself. Well, then it looks like there's clearly no wave edge, right? Well, in Showdown there is, and if you're not sure how it affects it at Showdown, bro, you really need to come over to my side, okay? But for week long, because that's what we're here for, aka kicking the nuts. Still haven't heard back from DraftKings about the official changing of the name. But how does this affect us at week long, right? If Thursday and Friday are going to be mirror images of each other, where both mornings are going to be spectacular, and then we expect both afternoons to play about the same. The temperatures are the same. There's no precipitation, so the course is going to be the same level of firmness each day. It's going to have the same amount of gust. How do we even play a weather edge. I think the normal person would say, well, you just don't. You just play whoever the hell you want, and you don't factor that in at all. And I think that that's very reasonable. I do not think you should get off of any player that you like this week because of weather, because the quote-unquote wrong wave. I don't think that exists this week. But what I can tell you, and the only other person I ever hear talk about this is my dude Tambo. This is I always cite my sources. I don't rip off my ideas and then pawn them off as my own like others. So I will credit him and say that I am of his school of thought. When all things are equal, which this weather does seem very equal, I always err on the side of, and this is only to break ties. I'm certainly not getting off of guys I like for this rule, but I always err on the side of PM AM guys, right? I like those guys that go out Thursday afternoon and then get to turn back around and go out Friday morning where they can shoot a good, if they have a great round, they can go capitalize it because they're going to be in the better conditions on the second day. And if they shot a shitty round, well, they're going to be in perfect conditions to go fire at every flag and try to backdoor the cut by maybe shooting a minus five or a minus six, you know, 95 percentile round. I like that. Those guys in the afternoon on Friday are going to be struggling to make the cut or to move up the leaderboard in the tougher conditions. So when all things are equal, which these it appears to be very equal, I tend to err on the side of PMAM, right? Once again, am I going to only play PMAM guys? Not a chance, Bob. But if I'm between, I'm cutting my player pool down. I got 30 guys. I want to get it down to 25. And I got these two guys at 6,800. I don't need them both in there. I can't decide who I like more. I guarantee you my tiebreaker is going to be one's PMAM and one's PMAM, one's AMPM. It's no decision, brother. It's no decision. So that's how I'll use it when all things are equal. But what you should really be doing is playing round one and round two showdown. And if you're playing the afternoon guys, well, just know that you like to light money on fire, okay? You should just send me $50. I'll send you a kick you in the nutsogram to your house. No charge, except the $50 you sent me, okay? So that's how I would use weather this week. Not a lot there. I also do want to point out that the two best projections that I normally use are not available in Mexico. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the problem is with Mexico, but they do the Consuela, and they go, no, we not do weather reports, okay? So because of that, I don't usually look at these weather projections, but they all seem to say the exact same thing. So I can't imagine. Plus, this place seems like it has really stable weather. So I think we can count on that, right? Hey, did you know that I have now won 5 GPBs this year and had 37 top 10 finishes? And you want to know what every single one of those lineups have in common? They were made right here using the solver because it makes the best version of my player pool. Yes, I'm a sweaty tryhard, and I make my own player pool by doing my own research and playing the game and playing ownership and looking at weather and doing all that. But what it does is it makes the slimy-ass lineups that I could never make by using it's a computer. It doesn't have human flaws like we all do. So how do I make all those lineups? Right here. As you can see, if you sign up using my landing page, my projections are in there, my ownership is in there, and you can go make the best versions of your player pool. It has changed my game. I'm winning more this year than I ever have just because it will take my player pools, which typically are pretty solid, and it just makes those slimy, perfect lineups that you need. And the best part is most of these optimizers cost over $100 a month. Use my little landing page right there. You see that little showdown, hoedown symbol? $25 a month. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Okay, I'm already hurting my voice, okay? But it's ridiculous, all right? It's ridiculous. Now, let's move on. Let's get to maybe the second most important thing in PGA DFS if it's not weather. And if I have to hear any more of these donkey dicks say, ownership doesn't matter. Okay, that's why you fucking lose, you donkey dick. Okay, no, you just lose because it's bad luck. I get it. Yeah, it has nothing to do with you don't play ownership. Okay. All right, so we didn't track it last week, but once again, not a great week for the chalk last week, okay? Yes, some chalky pieces got there, but you got to remember it was only an 80-team field, so there was going to be condensed ownership, and so we don't have a true measurement. But we didn't track it last week, but just so you know, in case you're new to the channel, we have been tracking it for over 23 tournaments now, and it is basically at the chalk gets there 51% of the time, and the pivots get there 49% of the time. So for all of you being like, the chalk always gets there. Well, that is true if all the time means 50%, donkey. So with that, I think you got to keep in mind that being afraid to pivot and get off of chalk is the way that you win at PGA DFS. Where the real genius lies is realizing that you don't get off of all of the chalk. It is about pivoting off of the right people to the right people. Once you understand that that's the art of playing the game, that is when you'll really start to understand the art of the pivot and how to make successful lineups. With that said, I'm a kind of a tryhard when it comes to old ownership. I spend a lot of time on ownership. It is really important to have good projections. How can you know how much Jonathan Rahman you should play, or how much Tony Finau you should play if you have no idea what they're going to be, right? Like, if Finau's going to come in at 12% tomorrow, he's a nuts play, right? But if he's going to come in at 46%, well, then he's like the most obvious fade of all time, right? So having accurate ownership projections, one that you trust, is very important, okay? There's many sites out there that do it well, okay? There's a lot of them. So make sure your site is doing well. Go look at their numbers and just see afterwards. Be like, bro, you had John Rahm at 24%. What were you thinking? Okay, if they have John Rahm at 24%, fucking run now. All right, here you go. This is our top 10 most owned and a couple honorable mentions. And anytime you see honorable mentions, you should always, little radar should go up. Boop, boop. What's going on here? Yeah, because something's up. All right, Jonathan Ramathan might be the highest owned guy I've ever seen, which is incredible because I think he's the first $12,000 golfer I can remember in like a long time. When I first started playing PGA DFS about 7 years ago, you would see this a lot. I still remember paying $12,200 for Patrick Reed at some slapdick tournament back in 2016. And now, here I am seeing John Rahm at $12,000 and I'm blushing, right? And he's like infinitely better than Patrick Reed was back then. So, how the tables have turned over time. So he's priced very fairly. Actually, okay, to be honest, he should probably be more like 12.8, okay? But DraftKings, let's just get baby steps, okay? I'm proud that you at least put him at 12,000 to at least give people 3 seconds of thought before they just plug and play him, okay? But with that, he is an insane, and I mean truly insane, 48.5%. You never see guys get this high, ever, right? Maybe in gimmick formats where there's only 30 guys and stuff like this, but for a full field, for a golfer to be damn near 50%, it's just insane. It's truly crazy. So, with that said, as good as he is, when you are that much higher than everybody else, it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter what your salary is, all that matters is that by definition, you are, maybe of the entire year,
the man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
Except when we do. I want to run this by you now because I know I'll forget to talk about it, okay? This is something you have to consider. There is, I think there's three main ways that you can handle Jonathan Ramathan, okay? If you're playing single entry or three max, you're playing less than five lineups this week, I truly think you should shit or get off the pot. I think you should be all in on him or all off of him. That's the only choice, in my opinion. If you're an MME guy, mass multi-entry, new guy, that's, we're going to call that anything over, let's say, 50 lineups, right? Or maybe even over 20 lineups, I think is reasonable. I think that there is an argument to be made for a third option where you basically play him at what you think he is likely to be in the optimal lineup. Let's say Jonathan Ramathan's going to show up in the optimals around 40% of the time, right? 40, 50, whatever the number is that your optimizer is spitting out or that your personal numbers have if you're a true nerd, okay? I think that there is a path to play him at that number, right? So play him at 50%. You'd be like, well, now I'm playing him the same as the field. Yes, you are. And typically, I preach the 2x rule, where you should play 2x the leverage of that guy. But if you're playing 2x the leverage of John Rahm, that's literally 100%, okay? So I don't know that that's the best play here. I think that there is a path to playing him at the field average. No matter what he does, it's not going to truly hurt you. It's not going to truly kill you. You're going to do the same as the field. But when you do that, you have to make a cognizant decision to say, I am going to get different in these other places, right? It is not a crime to play that bad of Donkey Chalk if you're aware of what you're doing and what you need to do with the rest of your player pool and the rest of your construction. If you're thinking like that, you're thinking like a player that's going that could be a long-term winner, okay? If you're just throwing him in there and you're just playing every guy at the exact percentage they are, just know you're a rake payer, and you'll always lose. It is the one thing I can guarantee you. So you have to be aware, if you're going to play Jonathan Ramathan, how much are you going to play him, why are you playing him that much, and what does the rest of your player pool look like because you're playing him? Those are questions you have to answer, okay? So there is your answer. But in the meantime, The man's a donkey. Let's face it. The man is Donkey Chalk, brother. All right. Tony Finau. Okay. Tony Finau. My man. Coming in at 10-7. Clearly the second best player in this field. Clearly looking a guy that's just been killing it at ball striking. And I honestly think 10-7 is too cheap. I think he should have been 11-1, 11-2 in this field, right? I think John Rahm should have been 12-5. He should be 11-1. He's too close to these other guys that he is clearly a superior player to. And he's coming in at 30%. I know you're saying, but he can't be Donkey Chalk. He's right next to John Rahm. Okay, well, no, nobody's close to John Rahm. He's $1,300 cheaper. He's in a field of his own. He's damn near 30%. I'm left with no choice. I hate to do this, Tony.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't play it. We don't play it except when we do. Sit the hell down. Okay. All right. We're getting to Wyndham Clark. By the way, these are the three most highest priced guys. Yes, there is Davis Riley. But if you play Davis Riley, you should probably go jump off a bridge. All right. So Davis Riley withdrew, so don't play him. There you go. That's why you come to this channel, for breaking news. But Wyndham Clark, you need to know that Wyndham Clark is 9,700. Very fair price. Wyndham Clark had a pretty good week last year. He carried Dumpy Bow, which if you look at Dumpy Bow, not an easy man to carry, I have to assume. So Wyndham Clark coming off a good week. Wyndham Clark's a bomber. Did you know only bombers are going to do good here this week, man? You got to play bombers. So he is 20%, and that's a little high. And if you look at the people around him, he is quite a bit higher. Yes, he is quite a bit lower than Finau and Rahm, but I don't even consider him in that group as he's way cheaper than those two. So I think we're left with no choice here. Wyndham Clark.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
I hate to say it, he's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play it. Except when we do. Except when we do. So right there, right off the bat, you're just going to make everybody Donkey Chalk. Maybe. If they're all Donkey Chalk, I will, you mother father. All right, this is what people are going to do this week, all right? They're going to be like, I want John Rahm, and then I want Wyndham Clark, and then I want just like a nice, safe piece. And everybody's second or third piece in their lineup this week is going to be this guy right here, Stephen Yeager. Stephen Yeager's a pretty good golfer. I like him, okay? And he's 8,200, and he's coming in at 16%, right? Just noticeably higher than all the guys around him. Matter of fact, the 8K range this week is totally forgotten about, except for Stephen Yeager. Everybody remembers him. So when you are that much higher than everybody else, and you're a super volatile player like Stephen Yeager, yeah, Stephen Yeager is one of those, I always talk about there's like 10 nuclear guys on the tour that like kind of suck, but like just have like these sun runs that are unbelievable. Stephen Yeager is one of those 10, okay? But that also means that he also has a 78 in him any given round, okay? So with that said, I think we're left with no choice here.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't do it. We don't do it. Now, that one's okay. As I've told you numerous times, not all Donkey Chalk is created equal. The lower their salary and they're still Donkey Chalk, then it gets real gross, in my opinion, right? Like you SH Kim and Benny and Truthers that played that garbage last week. They got 13th place. That was good. Yeah, well, you could have played about 5 other teams right around him that were better at 1/10 the ownership. So shut your mouth about that garbage. Okay? Only you would think that that's a win. All right, Patrick Rogers, if you're new to the show, new guy, just know that Patrick Rogers is a guy that I have to put it mildly, I have a strained relationship with, okay? I think he fucking sucks. I think he is completely overrated, and I think people love him for no reason. I'll never understand why people play this loser, but they do. With that said, if he was 8%, I was excited to play him because I think he's a pretty good course fit. But you start tickling him around 15%, not a chance in Haiti. I'm playing that donkey dick. But at the same time, his ownership is not out of line for the people around him. So we're just going to give him chalk, okay? He's chalk. Don't love it, but it's pretty gross, right? And then you've got these group of guys here. Let me skip to Gary Woodland real quick, all right? Gary Woodland coming in at 14%. I don't even really call that chalk. Most of his ownership is largely just going to do that he's the fourth highest priced guy and people are going to spend their salary. So I'm going to give him, he's just okay chalk, all right? But when you start talking about guys like Will Gordon, Luke List, Lee Hodges, all these guys bunched up in the upper 7Ks. This is going to be everybody's favorite build. You go grab Rahm or Finau, you grab one 9K guy, and then you go down and you get your Yeager, you get your Gordon, your List, your Hodges, and that's going to be everybody's favorite build, and they're going to end up building lineups that are dead before the contest even start, and they won't even realize it. Okay, it's okay to play Donkey Chalk, a piece, a two. Don't play them all together. Make lineups that are different than people. So, all of these guys right here, because all of their ownership is so similar, I can't quite call them Donkey Chalk. So I think they're all just going to be, I think they're just going to be a bunch of ads, okay? Yeah. I don't love it. There's just other guys right there that you can play at like noticeably lower ownership. And I think Benny Ann at 12%, whatever. That's just okay chalk, all right? So what I would tell you is this is the weirdest week of ownership I've ever seen, right? You've got these three guys up high that are getting all the ownership, and then after that, it's relatively flat. Like, it's really not that many disgusting pieces of ownership. It is spiked up top, and then people are just going to mix and match all kinds of lower 8 and upper 7 guys to go with those high-priced pieces. That's going to be everybody's build. And then there's, the few 6K chalky pieces, they hit the ball far, got to play them. Okay, that's how you want to do it. Speaking of which, let's talk about a guy that hits the ball far, a guy that did me very well last week. Oh, Vincent Norman, a.k.a. the Viking. And Vince Norman is coming in at a ridiculous 11%, right? He's just that guy that's just noticeably higher than everybody else around him. You know what this is going to be. And it makes me sad because he was one of the first guys that jumped out to me. And I wanted to play him because he won me so much money last week. But you know what? I play with my brain and not with my heart, you mother father. So this guy...
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't do it. We don't do it. You're Donkey Chalk, Vince Norman. And then this one, I refused to believe it until I saw the projections, and then it was verified that it was true. Alejandro Tosti? Tostai? Tolstoy? Did this guy write War and Peace? What the hell? I don't even know how to say his name. Never even heard of this guy. Had to go look him up. He's had some good Corn Ferry Tour events. He's an Argentinian. Some say he's the next Emiliano Grillo. No one said that. Maybe someone has, but I've never heard that. This is the only other Argentinian I could think of, okay? Messi. There you go. He's the next Messi, which is weird because this is golf. And he's coming in at 6.7%, the highest owned of all of the guys down in the 6Ks, okay? I'm speechless. If you don't see this one coming, you, sir, are a donkey dick.
The man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Especially when he's a $6,500 guy I've never heard of, we don't play it. You play all you want. Go play him in 100% of your lineups and then spike the football if he does well. But he's not gonna. All right, there we go. I'm not sure what's going on. I have to conclude ownership with this. I don't know how I've somehow become the most misquoted person in the industry. Oh, that degenerate 75 guy, he's the guy that says never play the chalk. No, you donkey dick. I've literally never said that. I said you play the chalk and you be aware of what it does to your lineup. Let me just show you something. Here is my lineup from last week, which, by the way, someone told me that this one right here was my dude Sweet Spot said that this was the Sweet Spot lineup. It was the optimal practical lineup last week, right? There was a lineup that could have scored more points, but nobody was building that because it was like $49,000. And I basically hit it to win a Fantasy Golf World Championship ticket. I'm pretty sure Cantlay and Schauffele were the definition of donkey dick chalk last week. And look, they're in it. You can't play that in your lineups. Yeah, I can. Hadwin and Taylor, very donkey chalk last week. Told you. And I told you I was still going to play them. And look, I did. You can't play both in the same lineup. That's too much chalk. Or you can. And here's what I did. I made a rule that if those two were ever in a lineup, I have to have at least three pivots in it. And look, O'Hara and Matthews, who the hell plays them? Schwab and Norman, who plays them? Dietrich and Perez, who plays them? I do. That's who. And that's how you make winning lineups. It's not about fading all the chalk. It's about making it work with your player pool and building lineups that have a chance to win and not just simply always playing all the chalk or always avoiding all the chalk. It is a more nuanced game to that. There's more to PGA DFS than that. And once you understand this roster construction and how to use ownership to make the best versions of your player pool, that is how you find success. By the way, I won two of those tickets for all of you asking. And here's my other one, right? A lot of people were on Charlie Hoffman and Nick Watney, weren't they? A lot of people were on O'Hara and Matthews, but I can get away with playing Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin and Cantlay and Schauffele because I mixed in other pivots with them, and that's it. That's the whole game. No one wants to play Bramlett and Wu. All right, I'll toss them in a lineup, and now I have a different lineup, and I can go compete and try to win GPPs, even though I played two of the donkiest chalk pieces in the entire tournament, and come to find out, one finished second and one finished fourth, which, by the way, you're welcome for the Canadian killers. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I don't care about chalk. Let's get to the model. If you don't know, I am a model kind of guy. I love the model. Model is life. Things I looked at this week, which I'm already full of regret, because just listening to a couple shows around the industry, I've already seen everybody just say the same fucking thing over and over and over. Same lazy fucking narrative over and over and over. You gotta be able to drive the ball far. That's all that matters. Okay, great. So now all the bombers are going to come in and inflated ownership, okay? And here's what I've learned about this industry over the past several years. Every time the industry agrees on something, just go the other way. It's the easiest thing in the world, because all it is people who largely don't even play DFS projecting what they think is going to happen, and then all the freaking peasants just go listen to him and be like, okay, I got to do that. And it's like, that is not how it usually ends up being. That is not how it ends up being. I guarantee you the thing that will define this tournament will not be driving distance. Yes, it is a great tool to look at to maybe find a sleeper, to maybe find a guy who's playing poorly but could figure it out. But if you're just like, I can only play guys who drive it far this week, well, let me go ahead and tell you the ending of this story. You're going to fucking lose. There's the ending. I've already read it. Good book. Good book, by the way. Very good book. I enjoy it. Turn up the fan. You guys are getting me fired up. Ball striking. I need guys who are coming in ball striking, because if I'm not going to value around the greens, I really want to see guys who are killing it off the tee and killing it on approach coming in. I love the proximity over 200 yards, which I don't think is a revolutionary thought, as this course offers more shots from over 200 yards than any other course on tour. Sand saves. Even though I don't care about around the greens, there's a lot of sand on this course, a lot of sand traps. You're going to need to be able to get up and down. I want to know who putts well on past Palom, who scores well on the long par fives on long courses, who putts well on slow greens. Because if you don't know past Palom, be rolling a real slow. How slow? Real slow. And there's also a good amount of shots that come in that 175 to 200 bucket. I also want to know who just generally plays past Palom course as well, which I believe is like what most of the resort/Caribbean courses are. Once again, don't jerk off the grass. Don't hold me to it. Don't be in the comments. Technically, they are only in the tundra. Okay, shut up, nerd. Go touch some grass. Oh, wait, you probably do. So, and then long courses. Just generically, I want to know who plays long courses well, because it's a pretty long course, and it's at sea level. So it's going to play long, Bob. There's some long par fours. And how do I do it every time, guys? How do I do it? John Rahm is number one in my model. I'm a true gift. I'm a gift of the earth when it comes to making models. I am so good at making models. I got John Rahm to show up number one. I'm something else. I'm clearly something else when it comes to making models, okay? As I've already told you, do not play Davis Riley. He is withdrawn. John Rahm's number one in the model. If you didn't know that, you are dipshit. Okay, I know I didn't say the F word, but I didn't want to cuss at you, okay? I don't want to hurt the new guy's feelings. John Rahm is a perfect course fit here. But let me just go ahead and play a game with you. John Rahm is the great course fit at every course because he's better than everybody else. Scotty Scheffler is the only guy that's even in his stratosphere. So I didn't need a model to tell me that John Rahm was going to be the best fit at this course, okay? The only way John Rahm, and this is like, John Rahm could have an off week. There is that chance, right? Maybe he could just, you know, have a bad Thursday, a bad average Friday, something like that, miss the cut. But really, to me, the only way he does not perform well this week is if he's uninterested, right? If he gets to be in his little moody bitch self and throwing a fit and complaining about the greens and blah, 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 blah. That's about the only way, because as far as his game goes, where he's at, how motivated he seems, it just seems like a guy that's going to, you know, at worst get like what, T8? Even if he's doing terrible, he'll go boat race on Sunday and backdoor T8, right? It just seems like that kind of guy right now. From there, you can see all the model absolutely loves Patrick Rogers and Gary Woodland. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I think those are two of the biggest losers in PGA DFS. I will always play them if nobody else wants to play them. But if people are going to play them, I just say, see you bye. See you bye. All right. They're just like Jordan Spieth in that way. If no one wants to play them, I'll give those scrubs a look. But if people want to play them, I'm out. I'm out like a fat kid in dodgeball. So they look great in the model, but Patrick Rogers specifically is getting some ownership. I think Hogard is really interesting. A guy that mashes it off the tee, but he's clearly overpriced. And when you see a guy that's overpriced, your first instinct is probably, well, I can't play him. He's overpriced. Well, I would say this to you, brother. You can play him. And because he's overpriced is why you should play him, because now you're going to get him at an ownership discount, right? So, you know, just make your lineup different somewhere else. Go find value somewhere else and pay a little extra for him. A guy like Taylor Pendrith. Remember Taylor Pendrith used to be good at golf. Now he sucks. Well, let me just tell you, guy mashes it off the tee. So him, McNealy, Hogard, there's some real, Noren, Putnam, there's some really good pivots up here that are getting no ownership, sandwiched between all these guys that are getting ownership. Alex Noren, I could never play him. He's been playing bad. He doesn't hit it far. He could never do good. Or he could. It's golf. It's not always going to make sense for you, Bob. So, I'm just saying, I'm not telling you to pivot off all these guys. You just got to have some pivots. You got to make a point to say, you know what? Fuck this guy.
The man is Donkey Jock, and we don't play Donkey Jock.
I hit the wrong one. Oops. So I'm not telling you to do them all. I'm telling you to be open to it, right? No one's playing Gary Kego. It was overpriced. That actually makes me like him. If you want to get off Steven Yeager, okay, which makes a lot of sense because he's going to be Donkey Jock. And yes, the model loves Steven Yeager. He's a very good course fit here. It makes all the sense in the world, and that's why I'm not going to play him, because every time somebody makes all the sense in the world, they'll let you down, Bob. So who do I pivot to? Well, go find somebody that you like that no one wants to play. Brandon Wu, Garrett Kego, Alex Smalley, Matt Wallace. We're going to hold last week against Matt Wallace. Go look at his strokes gained versus Shankwins, okay? Shankwins sucked. Matt Wallace did not play bad at all last week at Zurich. So if you're holding the miscut against him, whatever, Bob. Moving on. No, Robbie Shelton's usually a darling. Nobody wants to play him this week. I'll play him. Will Gordon, the model loves him, but he's going to be chalky, right? Him, Lee Hodges, Luke List, all ball strikers. This is ball strikers paradise right here. They're all, and you could even throw Bramlett in that. These are all guys that seem like great course fits. But like, are you really telling me that any of these four guys right here are any better than freaking Eric Cole or Lonto Griffin? Because you're full of crap if you think they are. They're all the same guy. They're all the same guy. Matter of fact, I'd make an argument that if Lonto's healthy, he's better than all those scrubs. Okay. Another donkey chalk that's kind of forming. I'm seeing some steam behind Akshay Bhatia. Always watch that. I think Dylan Wu might be the better Wu, right? Can you believe that? Better than old Brandon? Who knew? Who knew? Hey, Charlie Hoffman. 2023 has been the year of the old guy bouncing back. I'm telling you, he's starting to get it figured out. I was on him last week. He did me very well, as you saw with that ticket. And now he doesn't have Nick Watney, the anchor, to hold him down. Yeah, I'm telling you, give me Charlie Hoffman at long courses, you mother father. Oh, and look at that. He's 18th in long courses. Vince Norman, the model loves him. The Viking could never let you down, ever in a million years. Augusto Nunez, look at this guy. Just an absolute model killer. Right. And by the way, if you're buying the whole old guy narrative back, Jimmy Walker is a masher off the tee. And if he really got over Lyme disease and found the fountain of youth, you know, I think that there's worse plays out there for real. OK. And if you want to just play bombers, just go play Cameron Champ. Right. Who else do we have here? Some good sleepers, right? I think, well, you know, Kevin Tway and Callum Tarrant, I think, are both interesting. They both drive the hell out of it, but they both are getting some ownership, right? So be open to a guy like Dylan Fratelli. He can bomb it. He can, the guy bombs it. Look, he's 23rd in driving distance, right? If you want to just play that narrative, right? Maybe you go for somebody that's a bit more rounded and you go with a Ben Taylor. You go with a Brent Grant. You got to be open to just getting off this lazy narrative that it's just bombers this week. I will guarantee you that there will be two or three guys in the winning GPP lineup this week that are nothing resembling bombers, okay? So get out of your mind. You got, I can only play bombers this week. That's what I heard on the podcast. Okay, okay. Carson Young, another guy. Definitely not a bomber. But you know what? The sum of his parts is greater than any one part, especially the driving distance. And if you really want a couple gross ones to end on, and we're living up to the old guys, go check out Bill Haas. I'm telling you, old man Bill Haas might be onto something. Could he be back? Maybe. Maybe. I'm just telling you, he could play him. All right. Grayson Murray bombs it, and he's ugly. That's a twofer. That's a twofer. All right, that's it. That is a quick look at the model. I gave you some pivots. I gave you some chalk. I walked you through. I want to just let you know, once again, there are some obvious pivots here in the 9K. And in the 8K, literally no one is getting played outside of Steven Yeager. So if you like anybody in the 8Ks, that is the place to get your leverage. The way people are going to build their lineups, this 8K region is going to be forgotten about, right? They're going to grab Yeager, and then they're going to get here in this upper 7K range. So this 8K range is going to be the great forgotten about area. If you want to get different, you need to get guys like Rye, Hostler, Putt, Putnam, Martin, Griot, Smalley, Higo, Wu. That is going to be one of those guys will break the slate this week and will almost certainly be a single-digit ownership. So keep that in mind. I don't know which one is going to be. If I knew that, I'd be really, really rich, and I'm only kind of rich. So there you go. Which brings me to, who is the one guy I'm definitely not playing this week? Well, this saddens me to say because he was one of the first guys I clicked this week. The one guy I am definitely not playing this week, I hate to say it, he was so, so good to me just last week. You know I love you, Vince, but there's no way I'm playing the Viking. Vince Norman, the man's donkey chalk. I'm not playing that donkey chalk. I'm sorry. I just have made a rule. I'm not going to eat donkey chalk in the low 7Ks, all right? Even when it gets there like it did with Ann and Kim last week, I didn't play any of them, and I had a pretty good week, bub. So I'm not going to be scared. Which brings me to, who is the one guy I am definitely playing this week? I had to give a lot of thought to this one, right? If you don't know, I'm on a heater. I called Matthew Fitzpatrick 2 weeks ago. Last week, I had Taylor and Hadwin. I told you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you didn't play him, all right? And they got second. They almost got first if Riley and Hardy didn't finally live up to what I knew they could be. So how do I keep the streak going? Well, I did a lot of thinking about this one, and I found out that I think I know who the winner is, right? And this guy is a good player. This guy is a really good player, and his ball striking has been really good. The donkey dick just needs to figure it out, right? He is donkey chalk this week, but sometimes you got to just know if donkey chalk's going to win, you just got to play him and just get some leverage on him, right? This is a guy that, you know, I all these narratives this week about, oh, you got to play bombers because only bombers can do well here. Well, I got a new narrative for you because I'm different than everybody else. And my narrative is this is a resort course. And you know who goes to resorts? Families. And who has the biggest family of all time? Who has a guy whose family is so big, I heard he had to rent out the whole resort just to get him rooms? Who is the guy that needs the money to take care of the family? Who is the one guy that I believe he has 90, is it 94 children? I believe he has 94 children, and he has to pay those bills somehow. The guy who is definitely winning this tournament this week, and the guy that I am definitely playing, we have no choice. We're playing Tony now! We're going to play Tony! He's going to win! That's his whole family. That is his whole family right there. It took me a long time to get that picture, to find a picture of all of his children in there. Very lovely picture. The man, I hope his birdies are is flowing as well as his dad making abilities, right? And they're just pouring them in. So Tony's gonna win. We're all about Tony. And by the way, if that picture offends you, fuck off, eat a bag of dicks. I'm never gonna stop doing it because I talked to my boss and I have great job security, so quit being offended and click the fuck off. All right, cool. Let's move on to our winners for the drawing. But before we do, go check out my site, dgen75.com. The fastest growing community in PGA DFS. We are a cool community about having fun, being sustainable, and not being toxic fucks. Oh yeah, not a single pick over there. What a crazy thought. And we have quite a few winners. Check out all these guys. Golden Tank, LMO, Mike Stacks, Behind Enemy Lines, Yanni B, Resolution C, Ty Sly, Adam, A.D. Smith, Nuggets, Eli Montana, C. Corms. They're all winners. Incredible week. That's all from last week, bro. That's all from last week. Oh, yeah. And I have the best tool in all of PGA DFS called the Rosetta Stone. I have it for round one, round two, round three. Oh, I lied. Round three and round four showdown. And I have it for week long. I was thinking over here for the silver. I have that for all. I have my projections for all the rounds. Don't forget. Use my link. All right. And lastly, we passed three 3,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank all of you mother fathers for sharing it, because I know YouTube ain't sharing it. I see the numbers, all right? So it's just you telling people, hey, go check out this guy. I appreciate every one of you. You're awesome. I appreciate it. The giveaway tonight is sponsored by Ian Robbins and Coach's Path. One got me this badass Masters hat. Thank you, Ian. And the other one got me a badass RBC hat. So they became the de facto sponsors for our first winner. We've already had one winner. Our next winner, Editor, this is to make a lineup with me tonight. Editor, give me the first winner. And then right after that, give me the winner for the fuck counter, okay? I think I've skipped a couple. Jacob Olson, you're in, mother father. Me and you, reach out to me on Twitter, on the Discord. And Joe, I want you to send me a competition, a 1v1. If you're not sure how to do it, the editor will walk you through it. And we will play for all the money in the F counter, which I think I've been skipping. So we'll put a couple more bucks in there. And you're going to play me just like this. Send me that invitation. There you go, guys. Let's get to some Q&A. I will be doing one more giveaway in just a little bit. Let me get a quick swig of some Topo Chico. Let's go. All right. Back to questions. Here we go. I'm going to scroll back up. By the way, 91 likes. Any chance I can get some likes up in here, man? Look, YouTube ain't sharing my shit, but the one thing they do care about is like people liking your videos. If you're enjoying the video, you know, you just click that little like button. That's okay. All right. Let's see. I'm only reading if it's a question mark, man. Will you be eating Donkey Chalk ROM this week? Chris, I think so. This is just a big transition I've made in my game that I don't want to give up too much win equity. I did the same thing last week with Cantlay and Xander. I kind of bitched hedged on them, and I don't regret it. Obviously, I don't regret it. They did me quite well. Hey, what's up? Yo, Billy, my man Billy bought me a round of golf. If you don't know, I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend. I'm still going to shoot Showdown Hoedown from the strip in Las Vegas. Well, on my room. I'm not going to do it out on the strip with like all the prostitutes and shit. But Billy bought me a round of golf. Thank you, Billy. I can only hope the birthday boy is a sombrero on this evening. No, but I have this sweet ass head right here. How's that look? Yeah. All right. Giving up too much win equity, fading both Tony and Rom. I think for a single entry, you can get away with it. But if you're doing 20 lineups, I don't think there's any way you can't have access to at least one of those two. I think you're playing with fire. That's my opinion, bub. Let's see. He redid it with question mark. Best guy in the lower 7Ks. Well, seeing donkey dicks always get there, it's got to be Vince Norman. If you want a nice pivot, give me some Augusto Nunez. He speaks Spanish, and like they speak Spanish in Mexico, so that's like the narrative that I'm gonna go with this week. All right, which section of the salary players do you feel are priced in the same week in and out, and the section pricing do you think is adjusted most given a week field size? Man, Jerry, that seems like I could write a dissertation on that question. Which section of salary players do you feel is priced the same week in and week out? These 7K guys always seem to be in the 7Ks, right? Like Bramlett and those guys, that cast of players either always low 8 down to mid 7s. They don't really seem to move up or down too much depending on the field strength. Not too much. Rom is mad chalk because he's going to win. Yeah, I have to agree. Terry, I don't disagree with that. Every event like this, there's a new form who's missed 5 cuts in a row. Top 5, that's going to be Callum. Callum Terrence missed like 27 cuts in a row. He's going to smash this week. I'm sad to see him gaining any steam. I was going to shut up about him, Nick, but the secret's out. I don't know. Callum tearing it up. What's the best lineup strategy? Playing Rom or Ronnie Renau, and taking stands with guys in the 6Ks or more balance build? I mean, if you want to be different, the balance build is where it's at. If you have some really good sleepers you want, well, then you go with Rom or Finau, and you don't worry about it because your sleepers are going to differentiate your lineup so much, Bill. Ryan Jacob, a 3 max and 2 single entry. Should I go all Rom? Maybe fade him in single entries. I kind of like that. I think that's a good idea. Like, Rom's ownership in single entries, especially on the higher dollar single entries, I shit you not, will be 60-65%, which is insanity. Which I totally forgot to say this. For any of you that play FanDuel, go over to FanDuel, fade Finau, fade Rom, and if they both dick off this week, you're going to be printing money. Because they will legit be, what, probably 75% for Rom and 60% for Finau over there. So just go over there and do it. If you want to play the equity game, the ownership equity game, get your ass over to FanDuel and fade those two donkey dicks. Because the pricing over there is just baby shit soft when it comes to those two. Eckroat the GOAT at 7%. Mike, I liked Eckroat. I'm an Eckroat truther. You know, he's an Oklahoma boy. But not at 7%, Bob. There's guys right around him at like 1% I'd rather play. Or I like just as much. Where was dinner? Carl, brunch was so big, I'm not even sure I'm going to eat dinner, bro. I still have not recovered from that. I have like a pancake baby still in my stomach right now. How much is too much for Team Loft? Look, if you're going to play Patrick Rodgers, just marry his ass and get him in 30% of your lineups. Okay, at least be, if he's going to be 15%, just be committed to him, okay? Well, Ron B. Hey, I just said that. That's funny. Cadier, that's funny. Good question, brother. I do think. I think he'll be 65 to 75% over there. I really do. What irons do you hit? Man, don't let me tell you a little story. I've been mashing my 8 iron recently. 8 iron, 7 iron, like, I'm almost not embarrassed to have somebody watch me hit them. I've started working on compression, hitting down on the ball, taking a divot after I hit the ball, being a scooper instead of a picker. Makes golf a lot more fun. All right, so should I have some Mexican players in my lineup to show for their country? Terry, I will tell you, one of these Mexican guys that none of us know about, because this is their open championship, and these guys are going to give a shit ton. They're going to care a shit ton about it. One of them is going to go off. And the thing is I have no idea which one it's going to be, so I'm not going to get cute and try to pick one. I'm just going to accept that one of them is going to finish like T6, right? It's going to be like a great story, and he would have been a nuts play. But I don't know who it's going to be, so I'm not even going to mess around with it. If somebody knows the answer, go get him, Bob. Go get him. Happy birthday. Hey, thanks, Star-Lord. Ain't getting any young. Hey, you only turned 39 once. Am I right? Am I right? Right. Okay. Let's see. Thanks, Matt. A lot of happy birthdays. Let's go. Thank you, everybody, for that birthday. It's not going to click on them all. Do you lose too much win equity if you... Yeah. I think you do, at least in a single entry. If you're making... or in a single entry, I think you can get away with it. But if you're making a bunch of lineups, I don't like it. I don't like it. Thoughts on 20 lineups, 50% ROM, 50% Finau, then 30 lineups with 0% ROM and 0% Finau. Well, if they all cross the same, Brian, you literally are only playing in that scenario. So in your 20, you'd only be playing ROM and Finau in 10 of your 50 lineups. I'm saying, like, so what is that? That's 20%. If you're going to play 20% ROM, why not just fade him? Why not just fade him, okay? I think play him at or around what their expected ownership is, or just fade him. If you want to play half of what they're going to be, well, just go ahead and you're already at such a disadvantage if they do well that you might as well just fade them all and hope that they kind of just have some meddling finishes. That's what I would say, brother. Thank you again for all the birthdays. I appreciate all of you. What do you think of all this toasty talk? I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe I'm out of the loop. I get it. People love the new shiny toy from the Corn Fairy Tour. I'm not in on it. You could have maybe warmed me up to it at 2%, but at whatever he is, almost 7. Probably tell him.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. Lonto Griffin. If he's back, Tyler, I'm ready to believe. I'm ready to believe. I love Lonto, man. I'm a Lonto whore. And I've been trying to get back on him. I'm still not convinced he's 100%, though. That's my only hesitation. Who is your favorite fade? The Viking. Vince Norman. How many ranch waters this weekend? Over under 30. Over under 30. I could probably do 10 a day. 10 a day is reasonable. We're going to be there for 3 days. Who's made their lineups yet? Only losers, Carl. That's who. Let's see. Christian, when building a player pool, do you remove players from the full pool, or you just start with 0 players and then add? So I mark everybody off, then I go add everybody I'm even remotely interested in, and then I start the axe, right? I usually, like, when I kind of, anybody I'm mildly interested in, I'll get up to, like, 40 players, and then the axe starts, and I usually get down to anywhere to about, I'm doing 225 lineups this week, so I'll probably get down to about 25 to 28 players, brother. There's going to be some chopping going on. Is fading ROM the most leveraged play for GPP? Happy birthday, fellow 426. Or Jeff, my man, 426, the Lord's birthday. I think that's when he was born, right, Jesus? No, I don't know. Or whatever religion. I'm sure there's some religion where their founder was born on 426. If not, we need to make one, Jeff. I guess you aren't, I didn't even answer your question. Is ROM the most leveraged play for GPPs? I'd say the most anti-leverage play. If you want to, like, fade him, I don't know how much leverage you can get on him, because even if you play him at 100%, you're only 2x. I guess you aren't a new guy anymore. Happy birthday, old guy. Hey, appreciate you, brother. Nick, happy birthday, you mother father. Favorite play in the 7K range? Nick, I'm going to tell you later. For the audience, I'm going to say Lonto, but I got another one later. I got another one for you later. I got one guy that I'm going to play. I refuse to say his name. I'm acting like he doesn't exist because I don't want everybody to play him. Okay, let's see. 100% ROM, you could, especially if you're just doing a handful of lineups. I think that makes a lot of sense. Over 225 lineups, not a chance. I'm playing 100% of him. Favorite low-owned six-cut guy to fade? Yeah, definitely Toasty. Definitely Toasty. I don't even... Tolstoy? Tolstoy? We're just gonna call him War and Peace. That's what we're going to call him from now on. War and Peace over there. Favorite $7,500 play? What a weirdly specific question. Just because I keep saying Lonto, I'll say Dylan Wu. Let's see. Who are some of your favorite ball striking SOPs that do not bomb it off the tee? Emiliano Grillo is a great ball striker that does not necessarily bomb it off the tee, right? Who's another one? Ryan Garrard, not a guy that necessarily bombs it off the tee. Good ball striker. Okay, I'm not going to say Lucas Glover. Cam Percy, there's you something. Just look at the ball striking here for the model.
Because I got my model.
Ryan, I had not heard of him until today, brother. I had not heard of him. He was not on my radar. Someone in the industry with a big name must be blowing him up, because I cannot believe the ownership that motherfather's getting. Best play under 7K? That's a good one, man. Let's just go with old Callum Tarran, okay? Callum Tarran. I'll just hitch myself to that loser and watch him miss his ninth straight cut. Lowest own with the most upside in the 9K. That has got to be Nikolai Højgaard. I think I like him. All these Europeans have been letting me down this year. He just feels different. Or maybe I just want to believe. I'm not sure which one it is. Who is a long iron ball striking SOB that you like this week? A guy that absolutely mashes the long irons that I really... Robbie Shelton, look at that. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, dude. If you just go sort right here... Oh, this Jonathan Ramathan kid's pretty good at over 200 yards. Maybe we give him a deeper look. Who is your most owned player not named Rahm or Finau? Wyndham Clark. All right. Forget this question for, again, who will win first place GPP and why will it be Lashley? Because Nate Lashley is a killer. He's Nasty Nate Lashley, as Pat would call him. Good nickname. All right. Do you think it makes sense to have a larger potential player pool, say 30 to 35, 20 max, and allowing the optimizer to slim the player pool down for you? I mean, you can. I'm just not like, I'm not a huge projection guy, right? And whenever I give too much discretion to the optimizer, I feel like it's almost making my player pool obsolete. And I put a lot of time and effort into making my player pool, so I don't want that to be something that's essentially useless because I'm putting all my trust into the projections that the optimizer has. Happy birthday from one big guy to another. Thanks, Brandon. How much ranch water are we smashing tonight? None tonight. I already had too much at old brunch today, bruh. I'm trying to recover right now by just drinking water. Matt Wallace at 8% is great. I agree. Why not put a Y? Why not put a Y? I don't know what that means, Travis, but I'm going to smile and nod. All right. I'm drinking grape transfusion for your birthday, big guy. Choice of drink at these golf courses. You know, honestly, give me a nice light beer. Actually, a good Corona is not so bad, right? If you have lime. Plus, they're in Mexico this week. I feel like I need to drink it for the nation. Fade Finau and Rahm. Once again, I'll say it for the 58th time. Only in single entry would I do that. Not in an MME, I wouldn't. Do you like the PMAM save? Yeah, if all things being equal, I don't think there's a huge wave edge, but if I have to break a tie, that's what I'm going to do, Bill. Tambo and Kenny on DeFew, get out of here. I mean, you know, he's pretty good. He's a pretty solid player. He's really not that bad. But I, you know, just watching last week, he just has some really big numbers in him. That guy puts up some big numbers. I still want to know how to say his last name. I'm not even sure how to say it. Is Jimmy Walker pop off the tee recent enough reason to play? Yeah, I think so. I think that Jimmy Walker is like a sneaky old man. Like, I'm on the old man narrative this year, and I think he's a sneaky old guy that could do well. Let's see here. Is it okay to use the solver on your phone, or should I use it on laptop? I've only ever used it on laptop, but I think people use it from their phone, Hannah. Terry, are you on Højgaard? Kind of like him, but his ownership. Yeah, I mean, his ownership's low. I think he's one of the big pivots up there, so I'm not afraid to play him. I think I see enough to go for him. Plus, it's PGA DFS. This shit don't make no sense a lot of times. If starting with Wyndham Clark, can you get enough win equity? If so, I think if you start with him, the most win equity you're ever going to get in a lineup is maybe 10%. If you can do that, maybe that's good enough, right? But just know that only one out of 10 times you're going to have the winner in that lineup, right? Let's see. Favorite 8K player? Aaron Rye. Aaron Pumpernickel. Let's see here. Scrolling down. I'm DGen 75.
I am.
Yeah. No, wait. That's Rahm Burgundy. I get it. Is fading Rahm at Showdown a good idea? Yes. He's going to legit be 60, 70% owned tomorrow. Aaron, not a chance I'm playing him at Showdown tomorrow. Not a chance. You go play him at 65%. And when he shoots a -7, you're like, I am so smart. And you look and you see, why didn't a single one of my lineups cash? Because everybody fucking played him. That's why, you donkey. Not you specifically. Whoever I'm talking to in the abstract. Hey, thanks, Joanne. I appreciate you, sister. Pendrith from the Rafters. I mean, he makes a lot of sense, man. I know he sucked this year, but like, I remember when he was good, and I choose to believe that he still is. Okay. And this seems like a course where, you know, maybe he can get away with it because the guy can bomb it, and we've seen him be Ruru good. I'm just trying. Wait, he's really good at 175 to 200. That's a very specific thing to be good at. What do you think about going 100% ROM and MMEs and 0% in all the single entries? Is that stupid? No, I don't mind that at all. I think you get the best leverage doing it that way. I truly do. Because in single entries, his ownership will be even more inflated. And in the MMEs, that is the lowest you'll find his ownership. He might be as low as like 40, 45% in the big MMEs, right? And I think he'll be, you know, 60% in some of the single entries. Best player in the world is Donkey Chalk? Yeah, yeah. I don't believe it. Who is your favorite roster construct? What is your favorite roster construction this week? 2 6K guys. I got a lot of sleepers I like this week, and I'm gonna cozy right on up with them, brother. That's what I'm gonna do. How many players in your pool for 10 lineups? For 10 lineups, I'd be about probably 15 guys. 15 guys, and I'd be pretty aggressive with having about 4 or 5 of them and about 50% of the lineups. Let's see. Your thoughts on Eric Cole? I like him. That's my thoughts, you mother father. Thoughts on Alex Smalley, a player who lived this course last year? I didn't know he lived there, but I'll tell you what, Alex Smalley, no one wants to play him. I'll play him. He's one of those guys right off that little 4-guy range I was talking about in the upper 7Ks where I think there's just guys getting forgotten about. I'll just go play other dudes. But he's not a bomber. Okay, well, did you ever think that not every single person in the top 10 will be a bomber, you moron? Okay, not you. The person who's saying these things, okay? Quit being so offensive. Let's see. Anything else? Not seeing question marks. Hey, C is in here. 10th time, long time, just here for the Tolstoy references. Hey, you know, this is why you need people like Sia watching your stream. You need somebody of immense culture, okay? That man's probably, he's probably written papers over War and Peace, okay? Moving on. See question. Who's your favorite Donkey Chalk play? Rony Renow. That's what somebody else called him, okay? I believe it was Scooby-Doo who called him that. Party Marty Laird. You know what I was surprised? I thought Party Marty was a bomber off the tee, but like when I went and looked at his off the tee, his driving distance isn't as far as I thought. Really surprised me. I always thought, I mean, maybe Party Marty just went and got old real quick or something. Thank you, Sia. Moving on. Let's see. Sia Heat cover tonight. Hey, I'm supposed to be going on Sia's show soon. Hopefully it's for a big week. Maybe the PGA Championship or something cool like that. Because I gotta outdraft these guys. I got a reputation to live up to as a best ball tryhard. Mr. Pontrini is so honored to be amongst the DFS royalty with Sia. How many tequila shots or Jaeger do we miss if he misses the cut? I will personally take 10. You know what I'll do? Every time I crap out at the crap stable, I will drink a shot. So probably about 10 every hour. Bill, happy birthday, the Mexico Open. Let's go. Hey, Bill, I appreciate the super chat. You the man. Appreciate you always being here and supporting the cause, brother. Best pivot off of ROM? Fino. Such a crap answer. Why do I get paid to do this? I don't get paid to do this? There's no ads? Oh, okay. All right. Didn't know that. Love the banjos. It makes my Wednesday. The banjos, I'm telling you, the banjos, I took them away for like a week. The people were ready to riot. I was getting hateful messages. How dare you take my banjos? Are you going 100% Tony? No way. No way. I don't trust Tony Finau like that. Me and Tony, we don't play like that, okay? Any man that could have 94 children, I have trust issues with. Would you play any D Ernst at 6,100? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. If you want to find a guy that sucks but can bomb it and you want that to be your narrative, I think that's where you can use driving distance this week. And Ernst, I'm pretty sure, mashes the ball. I'm pretty sure if I know him. To be Ernst, I can't remember. Yeah, he's top 10 in driving distance. Jacob, Joe, make sure to reach out to me tonight. Moving on. Favorite 8K play? Already answered it. How do you feel about Baddeley? I don't know. I don't mind short hitters, guys that play like that, but like they need to be in good form, man. He's kind of tuckered out here recently. Do it live. Next 3-card money guy. There you go. If I play ROM and Finau together, how much cut equity am I giving up for the last 4 spots? You're gonna be tough to get a 6 of 6. You're gonna need to nail your 4 low guys. Already answered about Ekrot. Already answered favorite 6-play guy. Are you a cigar and golf guy? No, I'm a beer. I'm a beer and golf guy. Yeah. That's what I do. Where do ownership percentages come from? There's a lot of factors that go into it, Lee. But most of all, I've done it a long time. I know how ownership falls. There's some where you look at the aggregate of people in the community. Some of it is you look at projections. Some of it is you look at how good the player is relative to their salary. If they're like overpriced, they're going to be lower owned. If they're underpriced, they're going to be higher owned. There's about, I would say probably about 8 to 10 factors that go into it. And then you just put it together and come up with your best projections you can. Nuggets, man of the people. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Thank you. And hey, happy vacation to you and your family. Lovely pictures. Having a good time. The man's living life. Taking the family out. Not just the kids and the wife, but like mom and dad too. Let's see here. See ya. Man, we get pairing again. Dirt McGirt. You know, Dirt McGirt's kind of a ball striker, but like, if I'm going to play an old guy, I can think of about four others I'd rather play than him. How do you feel about Streelman? You know, he's one of those guys that, like, I'm telling you, I'm not afraid to play these short hitters. If everybody, you got to play bombers this week, well, then I'll play short guys. I just don't know if Streelman's the one I want to get in bed with. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go look at him. I haven't marked him off my list, but I need to see some good form. Matter of fact, I'll just go click on him because what, Mr. Slovakia, what else do we have but time? I mean, he's made three straight cuts, and I like that in two of those three, he really was killing it with the irons. You know, I'm not that opposed to him. Let me go find something else I like about old Streels real quick. Let's see. Plays long courses okay. He's above average on pass Palom. He's been ball striking. I mean, he's just kind of average at everything. That's like the most Kevin Streelman line I've ever seen. Just kind of average at everything. Probably has an average personality, too, if I were to assume, right? Would you go with Rahm and one and done? No, I'd save Rahm for something that pays more money, man. Save him for something that pays more. U.S. Open, maybe. Lucas Glover, not in this lifetime, Rick. I think the guy's a bum. I think his wife broke him mentally and physically. CNDJ boat race deserves last week. Let's go. What's your longest roll on the craps table? Carl, I am so glad you asked that. One time, I was literally down to my last $50. I usually buy in at craps for $500 to $1,000, but I was literally down to my last $50, and the dice came to me at Planet Hollywood, and if you don't know, they have this thing called the fire bet there, where if you hit all six numbers, it pays $1,000 to $1, right? I tossed $2 on that, and I proceeded to hit all six, the 4, the 5, the 6, the 8, the 9, the 10, in six consecutive, not rolls, but six consecutive numbers. And then I hit three more points on top of that. Rolled for about an hour and 20 minutes, hit 9 points. This little Asian guy next to me who didn't speak any English literally won about $35,000, gave me two $1,000 chips and said thank you. I mean, you know, like he acknowledged me and, you know, gave me the head nod. And I was like, I get it, brother. It was the coolest thing ever. I gave $1,000 of that $2,000 to the dealers. It was the best moment of my gambling life. I probably went from $50 up to about $5,000. But if I were playing like I normally did, I legit probably could have paid off my house. It was just one of those rolls. So that would be my longest roll. About an hour and 20 minutes, hit 9 points, and I hit all six for the fire bet. So I got $2,000 right there on my $2 that I put on the fire bet. Still, anytime I tell that story, I still fucking blush. I still blush. I remember the date that happened. I still remember the specific date that happened. Okay. I think that's it. Thank you for asking that question. I think we're done. Adding past Palom, the putting stats incorporate Mexico from last year. Thoughts on Kevin Roy? I like Kevin Roy. Just dandy. All right, Kadir, just because I don't recognize your name, how about fading Rahm, Finau, and Clark and getting super weird? I don't mind it. Just know that, like, I would only do that in really, really big fields, because if you're going to take that much risk and you're going to get paid off, you want to get paid off to, you know, where, like, you're getting paid off around against thousands of people. If you're just playing against a couple hundred people in a small GPP, the upside isn't there for the risk that you're taking. That's what I would say. Guys, I think that's it. I appreciate all of you for being here. Don't forget to reach out if you won the tickets. Don't forget to check out my website. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I appreciate every single one of you. I'll see you again Friday, and then I'll see you Saturday from Las Vegas, because I'm the sweatiest of the sweaty tryhards. Thank you for the super chats. You guys are all legends. Nuggets, Nick, Bill, appreciate all of you. I think I'm out. Let's enjoy this outro, you motherfathers.